Late in 1895, Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen first noticed the strange effect which led to the announcement of his discovery of X-ray.
They remained a mystery even to the scientists. That is how they got their name. X for the unknown.
X-ray. Oh, he's a radiology tech.
Oh, wow. Like, oh, that's cool.
Snap.
I'm fighting the urge to not go. Shout out to Endo. I got to stop doing shout outs.
Where's the telemaker, bro?
Is the tube out of X-rays?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why don't you test these BE tips out for us?
Bruh.
Yes.
Wow.
What?
Dang, that's a double whammy.
I was like, yeah.
Twerk the histogram.
I got to shoot X-rays.
Longhorn is trying to email us right now for a sponsorship?
Did he make you go repeat the X-rays for him?
No.
Shout out to Bronx and ERCPs.
We're all radiologic technologists.
Chicka, what? Season 2, we definitely need a shorter intro.
Are you guys getting tired of hearing that whole thing yet?
I'm running out of stuff to say. Welcome back.
Not paid to sing Backstreet Boys anymore?
No way. Yeah, man. I think it's only copyrighted. I think if you only sing I don't know how many seconds, you're good, right? Nice rendition of these, you know. I'm a freaking awesome singer in Cambodia. Anyways, Catheter Jockeys are back, aka Compton Scat Pack, aka Brimstalling Brunch
Brunch.
That's what I love brunch. Who doesn't love the brunch?
Anyways, if there's endless mimosas, I love brunch.
Endless mimosas, but it costs $12.
Bloody Marys.
Actually, $12 isn't bad. It's amazing.
That's for really endless good. Mimosas, that's incredible.
Yeah. A lot of them now are like $50. Right?
You must be drinking the fancy stuff.
Oh, man, I'm going to the wrong places. Anyways, welcome back, everybody. We got Patrick in the house.
I go to CeCe's brunch. What's happening?
CeCe has mimosas?
Is that $4.99 or $5?
$5? No, that would be. Can't do it. If CeCe's had mimosas, I still wouldn't do it for like $1.99.
It would be like Tang and like the Chiba champagne bottle.
Barefoot.
You'll get
barefoot.
It would actually just be fermented grapes that is strained and
pouring in the fruit salad. Yes.
From the fruit salad that's like expired.
Still powder from the Tang in the champagne.
It's a little vinegary.
You'll get a cavity before you get drunk.
It's so much sugar. 800 million grams of sugar. Anyways, John, Eddie, me, Rosie, Rosario Dawson. Boom.
Back.
Nope. Bad joke. All right. Anyways, what's going on, guys?
I'm Googling Rosario Dawson right now. I'm thinking who that is.
It is late. We're tired, but we're doing it for you guys. So welcome back. Roosevelt had to take a
dump
break to do homework and stuff. So
tell him about that. I don't think you give yourself enough credit, especially dude, like you're in doctorate school, right?
Yeah, I'm just finishing. It's my last year. It's a 3-year program, full time if you do it correctly.
Now listen, I don't know if y'all out there can appreciate how much of a huge deal it is, because I've seen the numbers. The percentage of radiologic technologists, because we're all rad techs here, that keep continuing on to the PhD level. Is it 1%? Maybe
something
two,
like that.
It's a 1 or 2%. So it's a huge deal. And mad props to you, Rosie, because the more of us that do that, the more cred we get on the streets.
True. That's I appreciate cool, it.
Huge.
What can you do with a PhD?
Oh. You want me to hit him, Roosevelt? You want me to punch him right in the face?
No, but with mine.
Let's get on the wall, Eddie.
Duh, bro. It's my lifelong goal when everybody keeps on calling you dumb. I was like, nah, my fitness is out. I'm going to go to the highest level. But mine's in doctors and business administration. So nice. When everybody has an MBA, I can say, nah, I got a DBA, bruh.
Nice.
That's why so I can get to a lot of C-suite positions. I'm just trying to set myself up for later for anything administrative or whatever, man. And, you know, I've always wanted to learn the business side of stuff. I was always afraid before. I didn't think I was going to be good at it. But as I got older, it just piqued my interest. So now it's just like, yeah, I love it. Like, I love the business aspect of it. So hopefully I can, like, make a change.
I think that's awesome because
that's cool.
I never had, I am right there with you, Rose. I never thought, I was like, oh, you know, my family, we're worker bees. We're not business owners. We're not running business. We're right. helping run the business. But the older I get, the more confidence I get and the more education I get. It's like, hey, you know what? Somebody has to run a business. Why the heck can't it be me? Why can't it be me? Why can't I be that guy? And it's taken a long time to get there. And for me, a good old fashioned mix of OJT, that's on the job training for you guys out there who don't know very simple acronyms, and education has given me the confidence. Like, hey, there's no reason why I can't do that. Hey, maybe, you know what? Yeah, I'll go on the world's greatest rad tech podcast. And, you know, have we picked out a yacht yet from all the drinks people have been buying us and donations?
Not yet, man. We're just waiting for the right one. I'm trying to wait for that new edition with like the
2023.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want that?
I already pre-ordered the Lego edition.
That's actually low-key expensive. That's actually very impressive. probably like $250.
Is Hot Wheels make yachts? I don't know.
Is Hot Wheels still a thing? I feel like they've faded. Legos is like, sure they're so Legos smart.
Blown up. Yeah.
Yeah, man, they're so smart business wise.
They 3D print everything. You can make anything you want now.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. Hey, but before we get started, did you guys know? Someone told me this. Did you guys know that cougars, mountain lions, and jaguars are all the same animal or cat or whatever?
What, John? Get googling. We need confirmation of that.
Like same species or
yeah, the same thing?
Is it just depends on where they live?
Correct. I guess so.
What
your location? But yeah, they're all.
Cougars, I didn't know.
I'm trying to get Eddie. Eddie's the one that told me that.
No, it was actually a patient.
I was wondering why he took that sip. He was like, "Yeah, I knew that."
It wasn't a patient. It was you.
Yeah, it was. What? No, it was the patient that was a science teacher.
Oh, but you agreed. I thought you knew about it.
No, because I have read that.
Was the patient medicated?
Nah,
no.
Okay, so he was lucid.
We're getting ready to do a Denver shunt on him, though.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nah, see.
John's on. John's Googling right now. If I wish I could. I wish you guys could see his face when he Googled. They're all.
I mean,
so is it true?
I change a window.
Is it true, or was he just encephalopathic?
But like jaguars have spots. That's the difference between a mountain lion and a cougar. Cougars cannot roar while jaguars can. There's no such thing as a black cougar.
So he was wrong?
Oh, a panther and a mountain lion.
Panther and mountain lion?
They're, panther and jaguar? They're just different
panther
species.
Panther and mountain lion.
Listen, if a leopard and a puma mate, they're called a puma pard.
What?
P-U-M-A-P-A-R-D.
So that actually happens? Like, that can happen?
That can happen.
That cross.
Jaguars can eat gators, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
Yeah, haven't you seen that reel, bro?
I know.
Like, it ate, like, a hippo or a gator. It was a gator, right? But I feel like that gator was kind of bloated. I feel like that gator was already dead.
No, usually they're smaller gators.
Oh. Like
caimans. They're caiman gators.
Did you research this?
He's told me to.
Bro, Eddie, like every day when we work together, he comes out with these like random facts that's just so interesting. Like he just like, hey, yeah, one day like hair grows a nano whatever infosecond. Like how do you even know
hair facts with Eddie,
man?
Like I just remember a lot of random useless information.
Listen, do you watch a lot of Jeopardy?
He did a lot of reading in the bunker, guys.
I watch a lot of documentaries.
That too.
Oh yeah.
I do too. We need to do
You know what documentary I watch a lot?
Yeah.
The Cather Jockey one.
Hey-o.
There's a documentary?
Yeah.
That it's one content on YouTube?
Is that what the guy filming right now is?
It's like an hour and it's on YouTube. Go check it out.
Check out our content.
You guys have anything interesting this week happening, you guys? Nothing? We got nothing? Of course. It's always nothing. You guys always have nothing. Why am I the only one that...
We had a patient that we drained 2 liters from his scrotum.
Listen, you guys must live in a weird part of town where everyone has ginormous ball sacks to drain and evaluate.
Yes.
Unless it's, Are you guys near the same power plant?
Yeah. This is actually a different patient.
Are you guys dipping your water, I mean your nuts, in some weird water?
How many times have I done this to this person?
And the problem is it's loculated too. So it's all just a bunch of gunk and fluid up in there.
Man.
That's rough. You would think that it would hurt them, but it's actually the scrotum's like thin. When it's probably that stretched out.
I was going to say, it's probably stretched out so much that you're going in between nerves.
If you're parked in the parking lot, getting ready for work, and you're like woofing down some oatmeal or some boiled eggs or something, I want to apologize.
But think about it, man. If you had like 7 liters worth of fluid in your scrotum, you beg somebody to tap that thing, man. Yeah.
Every day that was very adamant that we drain it.
Yeah, I feel so bad. Rightfully so.
That's rough.
Like I don't know if it's like the older I'm getting, the more I'm like, I don't know if I'm just more aware of like suffering. I don't know. Let me rephrase this. I feel like I'm affected more by patients suffering, I guess.
It's either because of time or because you're a father now. At least that's what changed for me.
I think it's probably both.
A little bit of both. You're just like, oh man, you don't, you know.
Well, yeah, you're hyper aware and have to worry about someone else now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you have to worry about yourself so that you can still be there.
Did you Google that?
Especially when I'm enrolled in the benefits, like to this week, it was like our benefits enrollment.
Like yeah.
So I'm like scrolling through. I'm like, what is the highest freaking life insurance I can get? What's my premium? What's my deductible?
What is disability? Why do I need eye insurance?
Oh, like before, I was like, short term disability. I'm like,
do you want to know when the year that I finally got short term? You want to know what the catalyst was?
What?
Young graduate making that bank as an X-ray tech, first job, making good money. And there was like a year, there was a year between graduating and getting out on my own. So there was a year where I lived at home still. I don't know if any of you guys are in that position when you're finishing school, where you're like, you're still living with your folks, but you have your college job now, or, you know, college graduate job. And I had some pretty good disposable income, and I was like, yo, I'm going to go skydiving. Yeah. You know what? You meet stash on my way towards retirement? No, thanks. I'm going to go skydiving. And we did tandem, and I go skydiving, and amazing experience. And as I'm teetering down to earth after the chutes opened up, I'm like, dang. If I like roll my ankle or break it right now, I can't make it to work for the next 2 weeks and pay for this trip. And I was like, dang. I think that week was like the same thing that if you work at a big hospital, whenever it's enrollment time for benefits, you like, you check boxes and click on, you're like, I was like, short term. No, I'm 25. I'm good to go. As I'm floating down to earth, I'm like, damn. I should have checked that short-term box.
See, that was the only benefit got when I was young, was the short-term, because I was like, I don't need anything long-term. It was like, it's just
same with long-term.
Now I'm checking all them boxes.
Dude, I check everything.
Heck yeah,
let's
get pet insurance. Why not?
I did it all in stages. So I was the same thing, man. Like, 401k contribution. What are you doing? I was like, what's the lowest I can do? 3%. All right. 3%.
2.9. Here we go.
I was like, I'll worry about that in my 30s. 3%. Like, no short term, no long term. Now, like later on, this is like,
I also always did the cancer one. because I was like, if I don't check that, I was like, I'm afraid that I'm going to get cancer.
That's a weird one. I did that one too.
Cancer insurance.
You know what we need to do? You know what we legit need to do, Roosevelt? We need to have like a, like for not necessarily even new grads, just people in radio, like a, it may not be the funnest episode, but some kind of like financial advice
episode. What to do with your money.
Because
financial advice is not financial advice.
Yeah.
It's a disclosure.
Like some, yeah, exactly. What I do with mine, and you should maybe too if you want to.
Or a whole episode on what we wish school would have taught us on financial prepping.
Yeah, that's seriously.
And I'm not talking about college, just school in general. Like
high school?
As you grew up. Nice. Yeah, like high school. Yeah, should have been a lot more how to do your finances and stuff like that. And,
good one. Yeah.
Like, stop watching all those rap videos.
Exactly.
Like, John
Cash is not king.
Like, like, you know, like, don't rent, buy. You know, just things like that. They don't teach you that stuff.
Yeah, something about throwing money in the air just doesn't work out.
Don't pay minimal payments on your credit card.
Yeah.
John can attest to my Make It Rain phase.
It was a good phase.
It was a good phase.
look at the smile that came on John's face. He's like,
he's like, I benefited from that.
I was like an intern, wasn't making any money. Results over Making It Rain. I'm like, man, I can't wait to graduate and Make It Rain too.
And I have to retire when I'm 75, but damn, we made it rain.
Yeah. I was like, bro, it's Tuesday night. Like, you spent $900 on two bottles of champagne?
When I first got my x-ray job, I made it rain. Definitely with a few friends.
Yeah.
Just because I never had that money before.
Yes. Yeah. I think everyone goes through that phase where you're like,
McDonald's money.
Finally can provide for myself.
I may have bought a round or two, but I didn't make it rain too much. I made it sprinkle.
I was like,
you know what? You know what, guys? That triple dipper, just that triple dipper right there, that's on me. What do you get? An El Presidente? No, that's on him. But that triple dipper's on me.
Yeah, I could see.
And actually,
that.
I'm gonna want 2/3 of that triple dipper.
You're like half price apps.
Take the apps. Yeah. That's like, I'll take the first one.
Half price apps and have a coupon for buy one get one.
Oh, that's my master trick when it comes to going out. I buy the first round because you get credit for it. Everyone's like lucid, and then after that, remember. Once the drinks are setting in, I'm like, no, I did the last one. You go. You go.
I did the other last one. I did two ones before.
Yeah,
it's
bro,
your turn.
Come on. Yeah, it's your turn. That's fine. That's the kind of advice we should give. I like it.
Oh man, yeah. We'll do the opposite. We'll just talk about our experiences.
Oh, that's a good one,
right? They can learn not to do that or do it.
That's
whatever.
A great. You know what? Write that down. That's a good one.
Don't go drifting in your BMW at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's a good one. Dang!
It scared John. John yelled at me for it.
Don't buy a house right before the market crashes.
Killing your vibe.
Oh, yeah. That's a... Oof.
Yep, 2007.
Oh,
right
the bad
at the
one.
End of 2007.
Shoot, right now. Man. But it's pretty much another one here when people bought like these expensive homes and like just what, a few months ago, it's just like, nope, no one's buying anymore. Like, damn. Yep.
That's about
but like
down.
People who sold, they couldn't find homes either. So like they sell like their awesome houses, the awesome house, and they're like, well, they I want to upgrade, but like they got nowhere to go because it's more expensive. It's crazy. So let's jump right into it. What is our day's topic? Are we going to go to the topic? Or are we going to do a review?
Let's do a review. If I may, I got a review. I've been sitting on this one.
Ooh.
I know. It's a good one. So if you don't know, if you're scrolling through on your app or whatever, leaving us reviews is a big help. We really, really appreciate it. We literally read every review. And so right now we're rocking 5 stars across all the podcast platforms. And this week we have a 5-star review. Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Roosevelt's excited.
Yeah.
John. I'm getting it.
We're changing
on that
it
action.
Up, man.
I like it. 5-star review from Andrea. It's Andreuhhh. And this review says 5 stars for Eddie. So technically,
whoa.
We're coming in hot. We got a huge Eddie fan. And this five-star
look at
what? Whoa, hold on, hold on.
Homeboy is beaming.
Blushing. What's like, he's usually sleepy, and look at his eyes just pop out. And
what's
like,
the username?
The username is
Eddie Lover for Life.
E-D-D-I-E. No, I'm joking. I didn't want to give you
the best. I'm the best
Eddie
CJ
the
ever.
IR tech left his five-star review. No, I'm joking. It's from Andrea, and she says, I took the time to rate and review after you finally brought Eddie back. Love the podcast. Look forward to seeing it pop up on my new episodes list every week. I binged all episodes when I first discovered you guys a month ago. So glad I stumbled upon the show. Pet Peeves with Angry Eddie still holds out as my favorite episode so far. I'm right there with you, Andrea. That is one of my faves. Fired up, Eddie. Angry Eddie. We try to get him fired up, but we have yet to do it again. We've yet to replicate that. So thank you for leaving that review. It means a lot to us for sure. I know. I wish you, Andrea, I wish you could see Eddie's face right now. He is just beaming. Andrea. He's beaming from ear to ear. He's just like, they love me. You. They really love me. We all love you, Eddie. So thanks for leaving that review. It's a huge help.
He's a little bit more pink and not pasty. That's how you know.
Literally, it's like you're, that's how your you lighting know. Got upgraded. I like it.
Yeah. He's got two ring lights now.
Oh, man. You know, at work, I can never tell when Eddie's mad or sad or just being normal.
Yeah, I can imagine. I got a feeling like Eddie swallows a lot of it. He just puts it deep, deep, deep down until, you know, episode 117 and just pops up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Angry Eddie part
Stone
2.
Stone Cold Eddie.
Sasson 2.
What? Until
it's coming.
Until it becomes an ulcer in your stomach, right? Roosevelt?
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, hold it all in.
A bleeding ulcer. And then you go to IR and get it embolized.
Yeah. Not my me, though.
Love it. So thanks for leaving those reviews. It's a huge help. We love it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, man. What is today? What are we doing today? I missed out on cool stuff. And today, I know I was looking
at. You missed out
things on
the mummies and dead bodies.
Oh, man. I'm so upset about that. But, all right, today we are talking about Floro horror stories. Floro horror stories. We all got them. You guys got them. Sure, there's some we can relate to. We can relate to each other. Let's.
It's get one the of those. It's one of those things where, I mean, put on your rad tech hat. How do you guys feel about Floro in general? Like, I'm not talking about like you know the IR stuff. I'm talking about nitty gritty. We're doing small bowels. We're doing
slinging berries.
We're doing upper GIs. Everyone's favorite modifieds. How in general do you guys feel about you know those kind of floral studies?
You know what's crazy? It's not even we're not even like a lot of places. What I've noticed that we're not even doing a lot of traditional fluoroscopy anymore. It's
really
like
go ahead, drop it.
Abnormal. Hey, there's a hole in this person. Can you put a catheter in it, shoot it, and like see what happens? Or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or like, even when it what comes is this? To upper GIs, like bagel marshmallows now, like this is this new norm.
Yeah, yeah like no one's going in for the usual traditional stuff.
I don't know from this. What's this?
Bariatric surgery.
They got you got free marshmallows up in the radiology department? And bagels?
No, listen.
So they do this study. It's a bagel marshmallow study, and they're basically seeing the different consistencies of how your esophagus can handle it, being liquid, soft food, which is the marshmallow, and then bagel, which is represents hard food.
I've never done that. What kind of what flavor? What flavor bagel?
It doesn't matter whatever bagel you want.
No, Eddie, I need to know the specific flavor.
You hear that? Whatever one you want to bring. That's messed up. They make
you have to bring your own bagel?
The patients have to bring their own bagels.
Or they go to the deli and they get one and charge it to you.
Well, how much does that bagel cost? Do not. If you're a patient out there, please bring your own bagel.
Price.
Triple? You know that's a $500 bagel right there, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, wow.
You wait, you get to bring your own bagel?
Yeah, dude.
B-Y-O-B. So that means you can't toast it, can you?
And your marshmallows.
Bring your own bagel.
Bring your own marshmallows, too.
What?
They do it standing up, and then you lie them down with a 15-degree tilt.
Wait. See, I didn't know any of this. Hold on.
And you look for reflux.
Stop the clock. All right. So everything in the hospital, like, I've never been to a hospital like, hey, you got to bring your own sutures because, you know, you just, what is it about the marshmallows and or bagels that you like, what's that protocol on that? Like, do they put it in like a, do they bring the whole bag? Are they bring a giant bag of like some super
do.
Puffs?
Some yeah. do. And then we save it sometimes for the people that don't.
Well, that's the thing is that they go, we don't do them so frequently. They go stale pretty quickly. And you
actually, it sounds like a hospital problem to me.
I know, right?
Now I got to make an extra store, trip to the store and buy some bagels.
We get people that travel from all over Florida to come do these bagel marshmallow tests at our place.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Can I charge the hospital for the bagel that I brought?
Yes.
Yeah. Just to speed the charge.
Publicity, man. Next time I'm just like, hey, you know, does it? Oh, shoot.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, hey. Yeah,
that's what we're going to start referring.
Hey, so this other hospital does it. Why don't you go to John's hospital? I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, they're painful studies. I feel bad for the patient too, especially if they're actually messed up. It takes a long time sometimes.
I know, man. Then you gotta dip them. Like, you gotta Trendelenburg them and make them swallow.
Yeah,
that's the probably
here.
The
chew upside
part.
Down and see if you
like here. Chew and drink
gravity.
Upside down.
What? This sounds like a nightmare.
What they're looking at though is that when you like you eat dinner and then you go lay down for bed, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not eating dinner with my ankles in the air.
Speak for yourself, bro.
You're not on that late night dinner.
Oh man.
That's all I do. I worry about DVT and I'm hungry.
No.
He's doing that yoga with his legs behind his head.
So when you're doing fluoro in general, as techs, did you guys did you avoid it? Did you like it? Did you?
I love doing fluoro.
All the barium stuff.
I love doing fluoro.
I didn't mind it.
I found it
just
very
like,
interesting.
Yeah. As a tech, it was always nerve wracking, like not to piss the radiologist off.
Yeah.
See, I always liked doing fluoro because I got a great deal of satisfaction having everything perfectly set up. Like, almost set up so perfectly and tailored to my RA or my doctor to where if I did an exceptional job and the especially if the patient was more than capable of like listening to commands or whatever, I'd have the tray so set up well that I almost wouldn't even have to be in the room with the rat. I'd almost be like, I'd have it in the right order. I'd have all the stuff that they want. I'd give them options. I like the challenge of having it all set up.
Speaking of that, I think which is why I like fluoro so much is the first place that I worked at, this outpatient clinic, they had the techs do the fluoro cases. And so I would take all my films that I took. Well, obviously they trained, you know, how to do it and how the doctor wanted it. But I would show all my films to the radiologist and they'd be like, okay, do an RAO and they're done. Or they'd be like, oh, good job. They're done. The only thing we didn't do was BEs. So
sure. I always felt weird about that. I see that now when I go to places. I saw the techs were basically doing the modified barium. It was like the speech pathologist and the tech doing the modified. How does that work, Rose? Does a rad or RA have to be in the room?
For the modifieds. Supposed to be, because the...
Never mind, cut that.
No, they can do it by monitoring like how we do.
Yeah, no, but someone has to oversee.
There has to be a supervising person in the room.
Correct. That supervises the whole fluoro portion.
Yeah, maybe it was a rad. Maybe it was a tech. It might have been a rad.
Like they can't, like speech can't interpret fluoro images solo.
Well, no, but what if a radiologist is watching it from
a remote
location, but they're watching it and they're on like a Bluetooth with the speech.
Oh, you guys did all that?
Yeah.
No, that's still okay.
Oh, okay. They might as well be in the, you know,
because the rad's looking at it. They're doing
like
it live.
They're watching it live.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That's cool.
And that's how we did it.
I feel like that's fishy too.
No, they can do that.
Yeah, if they're there, they can say, hey, Eddie, nah, do that one again, or yeah, yeah. But
yeah, no, they ask questions, and they talk with the speech, and like even the speech pathologist will tell the patient, hey, look, I'm going to be talking to a radiologist on a Bluetooth. They're going to be watching everything that we're doing live. And then they talk, and they're like, okay, I'm doing the thin barium now. And so they know exactly what they're doing, and they're watching it.
I had rads that would try to get me to do all the positioning and moving and stuff. Like, I was like, I got everything set up for you, man. Go have fun. Bye-bye. And I would go behind the control panel. That's crazy.
Called Super Techs back in the day. And
Super Tech. Love it.
Super Techs. And then when RAs do it, they have a problem with it. They're okay with, teaching us as technologists to do it. But when RAs, we change our title, now they're like, oh, man. No.
You're still, how does that work? You're still like a tech. That's crazy, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're still licensed. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know what? That's funny you say that. Before I went into IR, we used to get some orders for like a portable chest x-ray in IR. And someone who just went over to IR like a month ago, they're like, they call us and they're like, hey, we need a portable.
Well, you forgot.
And I'm like, and
Paul
we're
Fred,
like,
you forgot, huh?
We're like short staffed and completely busy. And I kind of just wanted to say to them, don't you know how to shoot an x-ray? Can't you come grab the portable?
But what did Eddie say? What'd you say? You're like, okay.
Yes, yep. I'm asked.
Swallow it down.
Exactly. Yep. And then it came out in episode, what, 117?
Wow.
Oh, dang, man. All
right. If you guys are wanting to listen to that, that's episode 113, Angry Eddie's Pet Peeves. That's you know what? That is a weird move that happens. It's like
all of a
amnesia.
Sudden you forget X. Yeah, you're
yeah.
Like,
it's like,
I don't know how to do X-ray.
Listen,
no more.
Tim, you were just here 3.5 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Come on, go grab the old Shimatsu. You know the one with the janky wheel. And doesn't send the packs a lot. And go do the damn x-ray yourself, okay? We're a little jammed up here.
Didn't you just pick up that shift on Saturday for the bonus?
Yeah. Oh, they're even doing it. Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm knee deep in marshmallows and bagels here, okay? Can you knock out that portable, please?
Do you know what's... So, like, I tried doing that as an RA, and everybody was, like, offended. I'm like, you guys are busy. All right, let me go grab the portable.
I'm
and
like,
just do
I
it
can
myself.
Do that, yeah.
That's
and they were like offended. I'm like, guys, I'm still a tech. I know how to do a portable chest x-ray, but I get it. They felt like, oh, he's,
you can't win for lose with tech.
I don't know,
we're a
picky
bunch.
I know, man.
That'd be true.
I know you're busy. It's cool. I'll just go do it myself, but whatever.
You will not.
So have you guys noticed the, when you were a student doing fluoro and a technologist, like comparing the two situations, maybe it's just me, but as a student, when I was learning fluoro or just helping out in fluoroscopy, like it seems so fast. Like you couldn't like pay attention to anything.
Oh yeah. And I was scared.
Everything was just like so fast. You're like, oh, here's this, here's the barium, here's this, here's the pills, here's this. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. You're just like, how are they doing this? Like,
yeah. Cause you have no clue what's happening. Yeah.
Think about it as the patient. You're like, oh God, and they're shoving all these things. Like, eat this, drink this. Here you go. Don't burp. This is going to make you want to burp. Don't burp.
They're like freaking out. I'm like, no, I don't want to burp. Don't do it.
Sorry.
Wow.
My bad. Sorry.
Dude, do you know the beginning of this when you did that? You scared the crap out of me. I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, oh, so loud.
Sorry.
It's coming deep.
I had some effervescent granules. My apologies.
But yeah, so like
on a side note, those crystals are really good for heartburn.
Oh,
really?
Is it really?
Yeah,
I guess it's like
it has a
Alka-Seltzer,
anti-flatulent. Right? It's like the anti-gas, the Gas X stuff. So it gives you gas, but it gives you the relief, so you don't get the gas pain.
Nice, Eddie, dropping fun facts. I like it.
That is, dang.
Not that I've ever taken it or anything.
I was going to say, I feel like that's
the hospital's going to feel anecdotal. Like they're looking at a supply closet. I'm like, hey, where's all the effervescent crystals?
Listen, we're low on peanut butter packets and graham crackers and effervescent granules. Like, something's not adding up.
Oh, man. I remember, this reminds me of, so when I was a student, it was I was a second year student, and I was working, we were doing our 3:11 shift already for school, and we had a BE that late. It was like 6 o'clock or something, right? Ooh. And this guy, he was definitely overweight. Like he was overweight enough to where you have to do four like films, right?
The quadrants.
Quadrants.
Yeah, quadrants. Like, yeah. And it was definitely intimidating. Like for sure, I was so the technologist I was under at that time, she was really good. She was super fast. But because of that situation, Phil Bafford guy, he was super sick. And they wanted us to do a BE. And so we had my other, our other classmate, and I'm going to say his nickname I gave him, Scro. Scro, short for scrotum, because when we were in anatomy class going. And we had our lab class, our lab test, he definitely missed the mark, scrotum. Like... I was like, dude, that's literally what you have, and you missed it. But anyways, I digress. Yeah. So we're doing his BE, and, you know, he had to go, you know, he wasn't having a great time. I'll say that, sure. But, yeah. So he had to go. He couldn't hold balloon, and we were just trying to take, overheads and stuff. And, he had to go right there on the table, and it wasn't like, hey, go ahead, can you get up and use the restroom? No, he was going on the table, so we were shoving up like the bedpans under him. Oof. Right, so he would go, and we were just freaking out as students. I was like, oh my god, number one, it smells, number two, what do I do? And so we kept on having to get more bedpans, so I gave it to Scro, and I was like, hey man, just dump it in the toilet. I don't know if he heard me or not, but like he took it, and we kept on taking overheads, and for like 5 minutes, I was like, where is he? And I was yelling. He's like, yeah, I'm still in the bathroom. I was like, for what, dude? He's like, do you want me to dump it in the toilet or no? I was like, dump it in the toilet, man. What are you doing?
What?
He's like, oh, wow. I didn't know you couldn't. I asked and you guys didn't hear me. And I was like, what? Why else would I tell you to go to the freaking bathroom? Yeah. Even just like, gosh. It's so funny. Like, if you knew him, you know, he's just a lighthearted guy.
Yeah.
So it was just so funny that he like stood there and like wait. He stood there with poop in a bedpan and like just waited,
just chilled and with
he
it.
He was so unsure as a student to whether dump the poop in the freaking toilet or not. And that was so
he's
funny,
like, I'm gonna play it safe.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna hold it. What do you guys what do you guys want to do with this? But yeah, CSI, man, that was
or no, flush it, move on, Scro, we got stuff flush to
that,
do,
dude. But wow. But yeah, man, I remember that story, man, because that was tough, man. I didn't
That is a like, tough one. Those ones kind of leave it a was, mark.
yeah definitely leave a mark.
So that reminds me, all right, young, I was in x-ray school as well, and very curious by nature, and we're getting ready for a BE, and
it's always a BE.
It's always a BE. It literally always is, because nerves are kind of high anyways, and the tech, I'll never forget, she was like sort of the fluoro tech, at least on the days that I was there, and she has everything queued up, including the barium enema bag, all hooked up to the IV pole. And she's running around trying to get, you know, everything coordinated with getting the patient down. And I'm there with a classmate, and it's probably like my second or third barium enema I've seen. And I'm kind of inspecting stuff. I'm walking around the room. I'm looking at the setup, taking notes. And I see the barium enema bag at the bottom. There's like a red ball near the tube. And I'm going, that's interesting. So I like flick it, and I like squeeze a little bit.
You flick the bean?
The ball floats to the top. I'm like, that's weird. What's that doing in there? Anyways, moving on with my life. And the tech comes in, and she goes, all right, the patient's here, so let's get everything ready. She positions everything. She like puts the barium enema tip like she kind of cues it up and puts it on like the x-ray table below the bag. And wahoom, just a fountain of barium goes all over her, all over the place. And I
gotcha.
Was so terrified. As it was happening, I was like, why is this happening? Why is this? The red ball. It just like popped in my brain. And I'm like, this is 100% my fault. So I go, what did you do? Went full Tommy Boy on her. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I felt so bad. And I like fessed up. I was like, I think after the fact, I knew enough to like, I'm not going to tell her out. In this moment. I'm going to like wait till after, because it's like during lunch when we're like, you know, woofing down some cheese sticks or something. I'm like, hey, I think that might have been my fault. So 1 week later to the day, we're doing a upper GI, and we got the pre-mixed you mixed the jugs of thin and thick, and I unscrew the cap to the barium, right? And I look at it. I'm like smelling it. I'm smelling it. I'm taking notes. Like, thin barium, is this one? Thick one, is this one? And I take off the cap, put it back on, and set it down. And the same exact tech. She goes, all right, patients here are ready to go. So she goes to grab the barium and starts to shake it. Just barium all over her. And this time she looked directly at me and I said, what'd you do? I was just like, I just left. I like helped get towels and everything, get her cleaned up. And I was just like, after that, moving forward, I never did a barium study with her again.
Was this when you were a student?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I think she put two and two together that, and it was 100% like just a fresh student, not knowing any
curiosity.
But here's what I like about these experiences. Me personally, I'm like, for the most part, when it comes to screwing up or making mistakes, I'm a one and done kind of guy. So from then on into eternity, I've never had like a cap mishap or any gravity issues with barium, because that's just a part of my like mental checklist now. Like, I'm like checking the cap, I'm double checking everything. But yeah, it was complete and utter chaos. I felt so bad.
Man, have you guys had I'm sure you guys had like the balloon popping and stuff.
Gastrograph and blowout.
Yeah.
Ooh, gastrograph and blowouts. It's a special kind of blowout.
Yeah. That stuff just flies everywhere. But like when we're doing one time when I was doing like a sinus strike fistula, you know, this is when I was like first starting, when I was like a fresh like RA, whatever.
Give us a quick sinus track fistula. Some folks out there don't know what it is. I definitely know what it is, but.
Yeah, so a sinus tract fistula is basically an abnormal connection from one organ or, I don't know.
Anus to vagina fistula.
Abnormal connections to another part, organ, skin.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sinus tract's usually like from the skin to an organ.
Yeah, so.
Fistula between others is.
So, like they would ask us to interrogate it. So we, especially if it's, this one was pretty big, man, there's like two holes. But, so I will put, I put in one balloon. I was checking out the hole, interrogating the holes and I would put a catheter in there and I'm injecting, and like, I couldn't like wouldn't go anywhere. I was like, okay, well, I guess, you know, I'm trying to
not real
blocked. Put more pressure just to see if it goes anywhere. I don't see bowel or anything like that. So when I applied more pressure to the syringe, and all of a sudden contrast comes out the other hole and just shoots right in my like face. Like, it was the grossest thing, but like, it didn't hit my face, like it hit my chin and like my neck, and I was like, and like, you guys know me by now, I'm like a hypochondriac, like germaphobe, so I was like,
oh my gosh. Now when you're in that situation and that happens, Roosevelt, like, do you maintain composure or do you like, what do you, I want to know what you do, because like I said, I've said it before. I said it on episode 108. I'm a dirty dude. I don't fret too much. Now, obviously I take all the necessary precautions, but I don't exhaust too much bandwidth on worrying about that kind of stuff because I know I'm washing my hands and I'm doing this.
That but depends like, if the patient is with it or not.
True. That's such a true statement. But
man, so how do you deal with it in the moment? Do you maintain your composure or do you freak out?
For usually for like that 5 seconds of my life, like like I sit there and like I'm just
it's
like
the look on still. Your face. It's yeah. the look on your face.
It like flashes away. Before his eyes. He's like,
yeah, I'm like
out a coffin.
I'm trying to figure out what my next move is gonna be. Yeah. So I'll just
fight
there,
or flight.
Like, standing there. But like everyone's like the technologist and like the student, whoever that's in there, like they see it. They saw it, so they're just quiet too, and they're like looking at me,
which makes it worse.
Yep.
Which makes it worse when everyone's like, "What's about to happen next?" Like, yeah. They're gonna move on, or he's gonna start weeping, or I don't know what's gonna happen.
No, man, I just like ran to the sink and pretty much just like wash my face forever.
Oh,
and
man,
I mean, I came back, but I mean, I have to come back and finish it. But like, just I didn't care about anything. I'm like, all right. This is fine. Let's go to the other one. I was like, obviously, oh, it's a freaking hole to hole. I was done.
Good to go. Oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah, that was so gross. So from now, so I don't know if you've noticed, Eddie, but like every time when I do NG tubes, small bowel feeding tubes, any type of sinus tract fistula or anything like that, I have a crap ton of towels. I wear towels. I have
and
so
also,
yeah.
Use the face shield with the.
Oh yeah,
with the face shield.
Yeah,
like, don't like that. They give you that for a reason. Just in those situations when you're not wearing it is when that happens.
Yeah,
yep. Eddie, so I wear that now, and I always wear like a gown, like I'll take a sterile gown and just wear it.
Wow.
And for all those type of cases, because. Man,
Roosevelt, can you please?
Too many. I'm traumatized.
Can you please take a picture of you dolled up with like a sterile gown. I want to see like, hey, I'm getting ready to do a fistula track, something or another. I want to see that get up for sure.
Just to do that simple.
It's basically like how you used to do, or how you would do COVID.
I just gown up, dude. PPE. I don't even towels on a patient.
Bed bugs. Like they got bed bugs.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. I don't mess around anymore. I don't ever do anything. That's, you know, but unless I'm doing like an esophagram or a GI or something like that, then everything else that I got to do that has a shove a tube or Foley or something, I'm like gowned up. I don't even
gowned
care.
Gowned up, shield up. It's funny you mentioned bed bugs, bro. Eddie. I just ran into a radiologist.
I thought you were going to say, I just ran into a bed bug.
They weren't in their normal.
I just had one crawl across my desk.
They weren't in their normal reading room. And I'm like, hey, doc, you know, what's going on? Apparently he had. From a procedure had
brought bed bugs,
a mega bed bug infection in his reading room. Like mega, like he said,
I feel like
said I can come back
blaming that on the patient.
They said I could come. Maybe they said they could come back in like 30 days. He goes, I'm not coming back here for a year. It was that bad. Cause like he got up and he looked at his chair and there was like everywhere. Like,
oh my God,
I can deal with smells. I can deal with all that. I can deal with, bursting, squirting like, stuff in fluoro, but bed bugs, that hits a little different.
I just saw a video that said don't buy used furniture, and this guy slams a bar stool down and like just thousands of cockroaches just fell from it.
Oh, what did you tell? Oh.
A bar stool?
Yes.
Oh my God.
No way.
Yeah, it was gross.
How I'm big like, is this oh bar God. Stool, man? It's like minimum like surface area. Yeah, like how is that possible?
Scattering.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross. Like,
yep, not buying used furniture.
Oh, man.
That's all I ever do. Oh, man. All right. Dang it.
Horror stories are usually doing BEs for stoma reversal or the gastrographin enemas. Are probably usually my least favorite things to do just because there's always impending blowouts about to happen.
Butts and guts, dude.
Butts and guts.
Butts and guts.
the most memorable blowout, I guess, would be this poor lady. She couldn't have been more than 90 pounds, had a gastrographic enema, and she was completely stopped up, like easily seen on the KB. Remember the tech tips her, put the fluid in, the gastrographin is going, filling it up. Not even 10 seconds later, the patient goes, "I think it came out."
Ooh.
Check
and when
sheet.
That, can I interrupt you? When they say, "I think it came out," it 110% of the time it came out.
Yeah, 100%.
I've never had them say, guaranteed. "I think it came out." Like, no, 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 sir, no, ma'am. It's like,
they knew absolutely it came out.
Yeah, and so when you're thinking, I'm like, man,
the I balloon think was like blown up. I'm sorry, times. Is basically
yeah. yes.
I'm yeah. sorry it came out.
Yep.
But this lady had an excuse.
This they thing, all got excuse. They're the having a barium enema.
Yeah, the balloon was double blown up.
Yeah.
Lift up the back of the gown, and there is what I like to refer to as the lollipop, where it is just the whole entire tip is just one giant brick of stool.
Oh,
and I
wow.
think that was, I was like, oh, I think we fixed her. I've wow. never seen this before because tube and all.
Can we change the order code to this a brick. To a therapeutic enema?
Yeah, that's what, it, yeah.
Wow.
Like,
oh,
this
is so. It like a candy apple?
What yeah, exactly. Like. Candy it's apple, gross. A little sprinkled note.
That's yeah. so nasty, man.
That was probably the worst Whoa. One. But then you get all the, you know, the rebound effect with it.
Oh, that's traumatizing.
The diarrhea that ensues sucks. Afterwards.
So if you're sucks. Still listening and you're still in your car, you got to work a little early and, Whoa. You know, you're munching you're on like, some Cheez-Its or something, I want to apologize on behalf of the cat. Yeah. We got candy apples.
That happened. Oh, candy apples. And
if you eat a boiled egg,
one
eye. Good.
Yeah. I had a.
Good.
Because I had Some like a bad sushi. Experience with. It's funny you mentioned blowouts. Because I had a bad experience as a student with a blowout, as a tech, I had like an amazing track record. Like, I think I'm like, I don't think I ever personally had a blowout. If I did, it was like one and done. I always like really just made super duper sure that everything was and a little bit of luck involved, but this was one of those scenarios where
I feel it like was you were sort just of like hiding behind the control room.
No. I was like the Barry Manima guy. Like I had one of those semesters in X-ray school where it felt like all I did for an entire semester was Barry Manimas. And as I was going through it, it was the worst. I was like, oh, this sucks. Like I hate being a student. I'm just like with their little. They're like, they're BE bunny. Like, I'm just going to go, Patrick will do it.
King
and
butt stuff.
While I was going through it, it sucked. But then what it did when I became a tech, it was like where everyone else kind of shied away. I was like, yeah, whatever. I'll do it. I got this. And I had a very, you're not going to hear me brag about myself much. But I was like, I had a pretty good track record with Barry Manimas. This is one of those scenarios where Eddie mentioned this before on a podcast. Somebody was doing a barium enema, and sometimes in some departments, when your coworker is doing a barium enema, you find other things to do. You go do that routine portable that's been sitting there for about, I don't know, 4 hours. Or you go, you know, go down and get some cheese grits down at the cafeteria or something.
Time your break just perfect.
Or you go donate some blood, you know, whatever, whatever you could do to not be of assistance. But this one was taking a little longer than normal, and I'm like, let me go help out my coworker there. And to date, it was the biggest mistake of my life. It was a complete and utter disaster when I walked in there. It was like the RA was with the tech, and I just walked into just a horror show. It was, I walked in there as the tech was trying to help the patient, and they were, the barium tip popped out, and you could just tell they were all so super stressed out. And as I walked in there, there was like a babbling brook of barium coming out of the patient. Like they were just losing it right there. And it was just
so soothing.
Unfortunately, the
babbling brook effect.
The RA like sort of had a breakdown. Like they weren't handling it very well. Like they kind of freaked out and started yelling. Which freaked out the patient, which freaked out the tech. And like, it was so sort of bad. And I was like, one of those situations was like, why did I help? I just, Like I should have just mind my business. I should have done that 5 hour routine portable that was sitting there. But it was like, it was the roughest blowout I'd ever seen. And honestly, my heart just went out to the patient, because I could tell they felt bad. They didn't have any control. Like it was just, it was super rough, man.
Yeah, super really, sucks really for bad. Being the patient, man.
Yeah, it's rough.
That's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah.
Definitely one of the most mortifying things you can go through.
He seemed at peace with it. He's just like, it's happening, man. It's gone. I'm like, yes, it is. And I just, like, you grab towels. So to your point, Roosevelt, like, even though it wasn't technically my blowout, like, you have these experiences where it's low key sort of traumatic. You're just like,
it is, so, man.
I'm going to help every x-ray tech right now.
Yes, go ahead. Drop
currently
some knowledge.
Working in x-ray, beg your supervisor to buy this inner tube collection
the donuts
thing. It's like it's an inner tube with a bag like in the center. And so the whole center is sealed, and you put it under the patient. It blows up around them. So their butt's just sitting inside it. And if you have a blowout, most of it, and I'm not saying all of it, but most of it is contained within that.
Oh, the donut?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I'm telling you, that works it is great. Because, I mean, I'm going to say 1 out of 5 BEs, you're probably going to have a blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's even better than that?
Yeah.
The Cephas catheter.
Oh, shit.
Shout out the Cephas. Sealcath.
Sealcath.
Yeah, look it up, guys.
Cephas catheter. I know what that is.
It's a dual balloon.
Yep.
One in, one out.
So it's like with like holes in the center.
Didn't like a Radtech invent that?
Yep.
Yep.
I've seen that. Yeah,
Radtech RA. He sure
so is it
did.
Two balloons with like
one outer, but the outer one's a cone, so it like forms into your butthole.
You get a double.
Please, Roosevelt. You're throwing all these big RA words at us. Please, dumb it down for us.
So it seals it up from inside and out, internally and externally. So,
yeah, I've seen that. That's cool.
Roosevelt's got one in right now.
Yeah, duh.
Hey, do you know this person?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
What's the name of the product?
The Cephas catheter, Sealcath.
This episode, so if they want to sponsor it, then we'll keep it in. If they don't want to sponsor it, we'll bleep it. This episode is brought to you by the Cephas catheter. Wouldn't bleep that. If they don't sponsor, bleep it.
You won't know what catheter it is.
No, man. Cephas is a hardworking dude, man. He's like ex-military and stuff like that. He's gone through a lot of adversities. So this is a story. It's not about Flora, but I do have this awesome story. I had this one tech. Good friend of mine. He came to me and asked me if he could, he had this issue with his hand, maybe like a cyst. He's like, hey, can you ultrasound and see if you can aspirate the cyst? I was like, yeah, man, I'll do it. Definitely do it. And
sketch, I like it.
Yeah, so got everything ready. He's already anxious. He's an anxious guy when it comes to this stuff. And put the needle in. And I was like, oh, man, it's really warm right now. Why is it so really warm bloody and musty? Oh, it's Eddie sweating profusely and passing the heck out.
No, that was after you said, oh my God, why is there so much blood?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot I said that to you.
That's hilarious. You said, oh my God, why is there so much blood?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what? And then, yes, some diaphoretic action was happening.
Ayo.
It was awesome.
But guess who never lost consciousness?
All right, you didn't pass out.
This guy right here, yep.
Nice.
Because I saved your life, bro. Oh, did. I saved your life. I was like, Trent Dillenberg him. All right, let's get some fluids in him. Let's take his vitals. I didn't do
no
any
fluids
of that.
Fluids going anywhere.
I know. I just Trent Dillenberg him. Like,
well, that's off,
a cold rag. Yeah. I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah, man.
Stop playing.
I would never forget that story. It was hilarious. I was like,
I'm glad you made it, Eddie.
Because like
ganglion cyst.
Why don't you smash it with a book?
So
that's what they actually call them, the Bible. What is it, like the Bible smashers or something?
Yeah.
They used to take a Bible and smash
a Bible or a ruler. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Weird. That's how you get rid of them.
Weird.
I've never heard of this. So I can, so, now I gotta go to the hospital. I gotta bring my own book. I gotta bring my own bagel. I gotta bring.
And I'm pretty sure I got it.
And we'll charge you an entry fee.
Morning portables.
Oh, nice.
Okay, Eddie.
Push.
Sure.
We gotta have an episode on like radiology, like injuries. Like I have a few like permanent scars. I got all kinds of stuff
from mm-hmm.
battle wounds.
I got shins from like non-functional portables.
Oh yeah,
like bruises. My neck is like messed
up. Or what
up.
About if one of your coworkers ran over your freaking Achilles heel?
Ooh.
With the portable?
Sounds like you a hit got job. That there. Clipped.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
So let me.
But did you die?
Name this.
Yeah,
that's did when you? She stopped driving the portable.
So let me ask you guys this: we've all shared some pretty horrific horror stories. What's your takeaway from these experiences? Do you, from then on, do you avoid fluoro in general or barium enemas or wherever the horror story took place? Do you avoid it or do you channel that to make you like better at that? Like, what's your approach?
Definitely don't avoid it.
Yeah, just suck it up, man. It's part of the job.
It's part of the job, yeah.
Instead of doubling it up, you got to like quadruple that balloon, bruh.
Oh, dude, that's kind
of... Heck yeah.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Stretch that thing out.
No, only go twice. Just
remember, the views and...
Yeah, go ahead and say the whole thing.
Of this... Of Catherine.
This is not medical advice.
The views and opinions of us.
This is not real.
They're not even my opinion.
Yeah. But you can't blow the boon up 5 times without it popping.
Oh, all right, cut that.
Not in the patient, bro.
No, I'm talking about experimental.
Okay. Whatever.
We'll play it soon.
Eddie, like,
I don't know why it won't stay inflated.
On the sly, like, tells us his probably like his little secrets just to see our expressions. He's like, yeah, you know, no, I didn't do that.
But I'm telling you, so far, all of these were pretty intense. I mean, it's one of those things where. You're going to encounter not every case. And this is what I love about our field is that you can do everything to be as prepared as possible. But sometimes things are just going to happen. And for me personally, the more prepared I am, the more confident I am to deal with those kind of like, you know, those curveballs, because patients, pathology, they're going to throw those curveballs at you. To me, it definitely sucks. All of these mishaps, I bet. You know, when you're getting blasted in the face with some fistula juice or whatever was going on with you, Russ.
Gross.
In the moment, horrible.
Or BE juice.
Or
BE juice.
Any kind of juice or juices being flowing in your juices. General direction. It sucks as you're going through it. But afterwards, it's like, okay, I survived, you know, hopefully.
You know what? I've noticed that, you know, like you said, is you just kind of got to get used to it and get your, like, your scenario of what you do and how you do each exam, because I've even seen radiologists where stuff starts going south and they're like looking at you like,
yeah,
come on, fix this, like make this bro, better.
I don't even know where the spleen is at. Please do not look at me. Like I can't. And you know what my kind of rule of thumb was for going into any kind of special procedure or fluorals was just control the variables. Control as many variables as you could, because you're not gonna be able to control them all. But that's, if you got your towels, advice.
Well,
you got your towels ready. Be prepared. Boom, you got this ready. You do the balloon.
I was always told as the X-ray tech in the X-ray room, that is your room. No yep. matter who steps in it, the doctor, the yep. patient, a nurse, that is your room. You are 100% in control of that room.
Yep, I like that advice. And if you go into it with that mindset, you're less of a bystander if something goes down. You're just like, hey, this is my party. I invited y'all here. I'm in charge. So yeah, I like that mindset too. That's a really good mindset. Hey, and if you go with that, I like that because it creates a level of accountability. You can't look to your left. You can't look to the tech company or the student company or the rad or the patient. It's like, hey, this is my problem to solve. Boom, let's get to work on it. So we got that big old stack of towels.
Like blowout. Oh, yeah. I've had that in this room. I got my stack of towels. Boom, I got this. Done. Another bag. We got it. I can cut this Christmas tree. Boom. You know, like I got every scenario come down. And if you know what, I have the tools to take care of it if I don't know that scenario.
Love it.
Experience.
A little TI, as my old coworker would say. A little time in there. That's good. I love it.
All right, guys. That will do it, Pat. You
want to
play?
I love it. Guys, I just want you guys to know we appreciate you listening. You guys rock. Keep it coming. We really appreciate the support. While you're there, if you're still here, thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget, rate, review. You guys are crushing on the reviews. We're getting tons and tons of reviews.
Love it.
Don't forget to follow us on the socials. We got Catherine_Jockeys on Instagram. We got Facebook, TikTok, the whole nine yards. We should probably...
Yeah, man. Oh, and also, should do a Be Real? I haven't gotten there yet, but shout out to everybody else who are doing, who are making content and tagging us in there. So we appreciate that. That's pretty freaking cool, so, guys. We love it. We love seeing it, man.
I'm like, seeing more and more.
We love creativeness.
I am seeing it coming out. I am seeing so many just good stuff out there that people are putting out there. So yeah, if you see anything funny or awesome, tag us in it. Send it to us. Slide into the DMs. Post it in your stories. Also, if you're following us on Instagram, do the like little notifications thing. So that way, if we do post something, you like get a special like, hey, we know that. Oh,
check out what's
got a new fire something from the Catholic Jockeys Instagram. So keep it up. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We know you have a lot of choices when you're
like, subscribe, go to YouTube, listen to that one episode. Done.
Listen to that one episode.
That one 5-minute episode.
No, it's like a whole hour. It's like
the whole hour, man.
Yeah, man.
I haven't listened to that one. I watched that one.
Oh, wow. Thanks, John. We need the data for the analytics. Just put it on in the background when you go to bed tonight. Let it go about 5, 10, 12, 20 times. Whatever.
Put it on repeat.
Patrick and I listen to five platforms. John and Eddie barely listens to one.
No.
I told you, I don't like my voice.
It's a lot of work.
None of us like our voice.
Yeah, bro.
You need the numbers, Eddie.
Just play it.
You know what it's like listening to Angry...
What are you talking about? We're five-star. We're a five-star guy.
I've listened to episode 113, Angry Eddie.
We're 4.9 on Apple. Screw you, one-star guy. Person.
I think there's two now.
Maybe a lady.
Listen.
There's two of them?
Yeah, I'm a five-star guy.
Got that.
This is bullshit.
Just go on and rate us, please. Rate us 5 stars.
And remember... keep us playing and then dial 911. Like, we're not going to give you medical advice.
And buy us a drink.
Oh, yes. And buy us a drink. That's a good way to end it on. Please buy us a drink.
Oh, yeah. Do that.
Click the link in the bio. And we're out.
Adios.
And we're out.
Okay. Bye.